I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap pod for the match. Part five, Bryson versus Brooks, Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining me to break it all down, it's him. It's Kyle Porter, KP. A little bit of 12-hole golf action, although we didn't need all 12 holes, my friend.
Yeah, it was great. Holiday edition. I'm at my in-laws. Producer Jacob is in what appears to be like a storage closet. So if you're watching on YouTube, apologies for some of the backgrounds. But hey, it's fun to talk off. Like, we can jump into this more, but I think I heard Bryson Brooks, and off the top, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm not that into like their few, like the all the just nonsense that goes along with it. But I think it's really meaningful that was fun. And it wasn't even, and we can dive into the actual competition, but I just, that was my big takeaway, is like, man, that really worked as a product, like as somebody that loves golf, loves to listen to people talk about it and watch it. That really worked. And I don't know about you, but I had a ton of fun watching it on Friday.
Yeah, they're learning. There's a couple of things that I think they did much better this time around than they've done in previous versions of the match. We'll get to all that. Let's quickly fly through because the golf wasn't all that good, KP. Brooks Koepka runs away with this thing. He lays the smack down. Bryson ends up conceding on the ninth hole. There were only a handful of really good shots. All of them were hit by Brooks Koepka. Bryson was erratic off the tee. Putted terribly, was never involved at all in this match.
No, he wasn't. And, you know, the thing that Koepka did pretty well, because Koepka wasn't great off the tee either, but he hit some really good recovery shots on, was it five, where he almost hit it in the water?
Five is where this whole thing turned. Yes, that's the hole.
So he almost hit, he pulls it. I thought it was in the water. Phil thought it was in the water too. And he hits an unbelievable recovery shot, gets up and down for birdie. Bryson gave him the birdie putt, and then Bryson, he couldn't get up and down. He gave himself like a 6-footer, couldn't make it. And then after that, it was kind of like Bryson was just not really, I mean, he didn't make any birdies. He played what, nine holes and didn't make a single birdie. Of course, he talked about, and you and I do this too. Like, oh, I haven't played golf in like 2 months. And you're like, oh, okay.
No excuses,
so everybody,
though.
No, everybody does that, not just me when I haven't played in a while. So yeah, the golf was not great, but Koepka, I actually thought played, you know, for him at a tournament that's not a major, he actually played pretty decently, I thought.
Yeah, played well. Five where he's, you know, you're thinking he could be in the water. Bryson absolutely pipes one and the fortune to stay up. And then he hits a great shot from kind of the bank of the water there. As you described, he makes birdie. Bryson cannot. Now Brooks is two up through five. And it was really never close after that. Let's talk about the format. Let's talk about the commentary. We can just get to this. Brooks wins, gets a bracelet for his victory. Phil and Charles, not on the course, but in the booth with the ability to talk to the players throughout. I love Charles, and Phil is just a masterclass of being on the microphone. So I think that certainly worked.
Oh, it was unbelievable. You know, I felt horrible for Brian Anderson, who was ostensibly on the play-by-play. Didn't hear much from him. Phil took over the broadcast about, what, 30 seconds in? He just started just hollering about how you can't draw a ball off of like what was the stuff
there?
Pine
needles or whatever they have
like
there.
Bark or whatever. Yeah. Mulch. And it just kept – I mean, Phil is so – he gets a little out over his skis sometimes. Probably mostly because he hasn't done that particular thing a ton. He's done it, you know, a decent amount over the last few years, but not – it's not like he's doing it every week. But but Barkley kept feeding him, right? He would ask him about you know, tell me about elevation. And to Phil, that's like, oh, well, how, you know, do we have an hour? Do we have two hours? Like, you can't get enough of it. And I think somebody hit on this. It was Garrett Morrison from the Fried Egg. Garrett's really smart about golf. And he said, the thing that Phil does so well is he is, as a golfer and as a broadcaster, specifically as a broadcaster who is a golfer, he presumes that his audience is super intrigued by golf, is super interested by it. And so he assumes the best out of his audience, right? He assumes that we are just as enamored and excited about this stuff as he is. And we are, right? Like, you and I are like way into the way that he, like, I think the way that he talks about golf is just one of the most compelling things in like just throughout the game, like in the entire game. And that made it a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, the a couple of things that I think worked really well. Number one, they went to the first hole immediately when the broadcast opened up. Like, when it was 4 p.m. Eastern, they were standing on the first tee, which I'm like, okay, that's awesome. We're ready to rock and roll there. I actually think, especially with the guys that are like Brooks and like Bryson, where you never know what you're necessarily going to get out of them, and Brooks, who doesn't say much at all, I don't need to hear from those guys, right? Like, I want to hear them mic'd up, KP, where I'm hearing from, you know, the caddy conversation and just the overall course conversation. But having Phil try to tee Brooks up on something, I think, is tough. And we lost Bryson basically immediately because he can't say anything when he's two down through five. I would just prefer to have those guys mic'd up. I don't need the interaction between Phil and Brooks, for example.
I thought that, by the way, sorry if you're listening, you're hearing a buzzing. I think that might be my problem. My game doesn't travel. You know how Tiger always says feels travel. My feels don't travel. I'm all out of sorts here. This might be the ice maker over here that you're hearing the buzzing through my microphone. Anyway, I agree with you, but I also, like, the thing that's actually the best about the players being mic'd up is their reactions to stuff that, like, almost just like them listening in to the broadcast. Not like it gets like way out of control when Phil starts throwing deep questions at those guys. Cause I mean, you and I, when we go play, I don't want to talk about a ton of, like, I just want to talk golf, you know? And so it becomes problematic. But, you know, for Bryson to react to, like, when Phil kept being like, hey, hopefully they're not listening in. What he really meant was, like, turn their AirPods up, right? Like, turn the volume all the way up. But, like, Brooks would react to something that Phil said about the PGA, and that's the best stuff. Is like, oh, that's how they would actually talk if they're just kind of listening in to each other during a practice round at a PGA Tour event. So have them mic'd up, but don't go to them as much, especially with somebody like Phil in the booth.
Yeah, and it is. I would love to kind of know the logistics of how this all works, right? Because in theory, they should be cutting the mics or muting those guys as they're, like, approaching or addressing the ball. But it doesn't seem to necessarily be the case, because Bryson was saying, oh, yeah, I heard you talking through my entire putting stroke, and you can hear them kind of chuckling about things. I do agree. Being able to hear, you know, for example, Brooks being able to hear what Bryson says when they're 100 yards apart is kind of exciting, and it's kind of fun. So we got to keep that part in. The 12 holes, to me, perfect. And there's a good chance you never get to 12 of those holes or to a couple of those holes, but we don't need to watch them slog through 18.
No, and I think it's weird that I just had a tough couple holes there. My audio is good again. you know, I was thinking about this because this is a 3-year anniversary of the Tiger Phil match, mm-hmm. right? Of them playing at, was it Shadow Creek?
Correct. Yes. The very first one.
And, you know, you think, okay, man, we got Tiger Phil. We got, this is going to be awesome. And I was just, it just wasn't like, it just lasted like 2 hours too long.
Right.
And that golf wasn't great either. I mean, it was tantamount to what we saw today on Friday between Brooks and Bryson. But the fact that it was only 12 holes and really, it lasted 9 holes. They played a couple extra at the end for some of the charity stuff.
Yeah.
Was just, it was great. And I was actually thinking about how, like, even if you, like, if you use this format, I think I tweeted this out. If you use this format on, you could just randomly pick 2 golfers on the PGA Tour. Just throw out a name and I'll throw out another one. Who's your name?
Keegan Bradley.
And Adam Schenck. The marketing for that is a disaster. And yet, if you applied this format to it, where you have 12 holes and Phil and Barkley and like drone shots and all this right. stuff, I would watch that. Not just because it's my job, but because it's a entertaining product. And so I think that, like, again, I wasn't super excited about this coming in. I thought it was going to be fine, but I just this time around, it just clicked for me that if you have a 12-hole match, if you have Phil or somebody, there's nobody like him. If you have Phil on the microphone with Barkley or somebody like that, it just works, man. Like, it's just a product that works for sports entertainment on television. And I don't know that I've thought that before, but not as I haven't believed it as much as I do now.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned the fact that this only took 9 holes, but they still had to go and play the 2 other, hit a couple more shots for charity. One was a long drive, and then the final closest to the pin on what is normally 18 at the Wynn Golf Club. What did you think about that? Is that poor planning that you weren't going to get to those holes, or is that, like, it almost became a completely different show after the match was decided? They were much more talkative. Brooks became wholesome almost in the compliments that he gave Bryson. Or was that just like, oh man, this is rubbing salt in a wound for Bryson, who not only got, you know, smacked, and he now has to go and do these little challenges?
No, I thought it was fine because you're going to run into that with match play, right? Like, we talk about that with the Ryder Cup. It's like, oh, wow, the event's over and there's still 90 minutes left in the broadcast. Yeah. Like, it's just, if you play match play, that's going to be inevitable. So as long as you have a little bit of a hook there at the end where you're doing a closest to the pin or a long drive, I thought that was, it was a different kind of entertaining, but I thought it was just as entertaining as the actual match.
I thought it was pretty fun. I've never seen Brooks swing that hard. I was like, okay, he's like buying into this, and he's going to the long drive, and he's just going to take a crack at it. Like, I thought it was different and interesting.
Yeah. By the way, how about him? Like, he was genuinely astonished by Bryson's ball speed.
Okay. They've never played together.
Well, they never played together, but he almost acted like he had never seen him swing a club. Which,
that's what I thought was interesting too. He literally said, we're usually on opposite ends of the draw, which I thought it was interesting that he knew that. They seem on opposite ends of the driving range is something he mentioned. Yeah, like he's literally like never seen him hit a golf ball.
Well, but remember, I think it was at the I'm watching Central Florida, South Florida, by the way. Gus Malzahn is on crutches.
Oh God, he's Jacob might crying. might have money on that game.
Yeah, producer Jacob, you want to jump in on that? Do you got any?
Oh, I got money on this Cincy East Carolina game, and Cincy just scored a junk time touchdown when they did not need to cover the spread. And I am back in Cincy. It's a great night right now.
Oh, you're on Cincy. Okay.
I'm on Cincy. I'm Cincy. Yeah.
I thought it was a hate to see it situation.
Me too. Oh, it's a love to see it. I got a nephew. He's coming in. He's got some oatmeal pie where we're living.
It's a great night.
We're living high on the hog right now.
Wait, some oatmeal pies? What did you say?
Yeah. He's just sitting here, just eating it. What's up, Knox?
Nephew Knox,
just running in, getting oatmeal pie. I don't, you know.
Oatmeal pie? Is that like a type
those,
of
pie?
Oatmeal little, cream pies, like the little Debbie's, right?
Yeah, the little Debbie's.
That's
little
what I was I picturing.
I thought it was like oatmeal pie, like pumpkin pie.
That would be
no.
interesting.
There's some of that too.
What were we talking about?
Brooks Koepka has apparently never seen Bryson DeChambeau hit a golf ball.
So you know what that made me think of? Remember when they were on the range next to each other at I think it was at Royal St. George's at the Open Championship.
Okay, yeah, vaguely.
Because I remember I've gone back through every tweet that's been tweeted for this project that I'm working on, and I pulled it up that they were next to each other because everybody was like making a huge deal out of it. It just it struck me as very odd that he acted so like genuinely shocked by how hard, not only how hard Bryson swings, but how like how much he compresses the ball, like how just flush he hits it.
So did you think that was genuine, or do you think he was hamming that up a little bit?
I think it was genuine. I think he just like doesn't pay attention to anything during a major week.
Yeah, right. He's on the range figuring his stuff out. Because I agree, I thought it was a genuine impressed reaction. I would lean towards he's on the range at Royal St. George's and he doesn't know anybody who's around him or what's going on.
Well, and I think that you know, Bryson's hilarious because whenever Brooks does that, he's always like, "Oh, I thinned that one," and you're like, "Bro, it carried like it covered like 345." Like I don't. It's just such a like just. It's become part of his shtick, you know, like, and maybe he knows that, but it's just such like part of his bit that he kind of does, you know, whenever he plays.
The first Brooks eye roll that we got was Bryson saying, those guys might still be within range in case I have to yell four or something like that. And Brooks is like, why is this coming out of your mouth right now?
Well, I think there are two things there. One, he was making the four joke that he never yells four, right?
Right.
And then he was talking about how he was hitting it too long and too straight. And Brooks is just like, get me out of here. Like this is, yeah. Which by the way, like I feel like the marketing of this really bothered me. It's like, oh, it's a score settling 12 holes. And you're like, is it? Because I think they're both making money. I think it's I think it's fine. I think it is what it is. Let's not like pretend like this is the, you know, like the end game of the whatever feud they have. If they even have one. I do want them like in the arena together at a US Open, at a whatever, Masters, anything. But let's not pretend like this is what that was. I thought that was kind of annoying.
So can we now let's act like this was the end game. Can the PGA Tour now put these guys together on a Thursday and Friday in featured groups? Like they've been toxic to one another, right? Or do we still continue this whole opposite waves thing?
What do you mean by toxic?
Like, or I'm just saying, like the PGA Tour hasn't touched this, right? Like they haven't put these guys. You know, we talked about it for the U.S. Open. There was a perfect opportunity to do it there. Every single week on tour, when they both play, they're both in featured groups, but are never together. And it's obviously something that is being done intentionally. But if this is the end game, if the match was the end game, and we've gotten past this and whatever, will we see them? Like, I want to see them play together on the PGA Tour in action. Hopefully, a major championship on the weekend. But will this come to fruition outside of just they happen to be in the same group on a weekend?
I don't know. I think it can. It's not like I think Brooks is genuinely annoyed by him, but I don't think they like hate each other. I didn't get the sense as they were playing that they like can't like I just feel like so much of it is so played up for like
for the sake
of I don't know this match happening or not even the pit, but just like I don't know. It's fun to get attention for ridiculous things.
It's great branding for both of them. If we're constantly talking outside of the pip, how much have we talked about Bryson? Brooks has missed two cuts in a row. Bryson hasn't played in 2.5 months, as he told us a few times. No excuses. But like we have nonstop talk about these guys when they're playing, when they're not playing. This is like the best branding for DraftKings and Michelob Ultra and like all these like sponsors that these guys have. This is great branding for them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the hard part is like it gets ugly when Brooks kind of activates his little Brooksy army against Bryson. And that's just that just turned really weird this summer, and it just, it wasn't, I don't know. It was kind of a tough deal all the way around, because like Bryson wasn't reacting great to it, and Brooks was not really, you know, asking for it to stop. And like, but I think like, but if you're just talking about between them two, like, I don't know, like, just put them together. I think it's a fine thing. If they get annoyed by each other, so be it. Let it happen, and then like the tour or anybody, USGA, that you shouldn't go out of your way to keep these guys from not being paired together. I don't know what the fear is that's gonna like come from it.
Looking ahead, how do we build off this? I like 12 holes. I love that. I've always been a proponent of a couple of different matches, almost like a little mini Ryder Cup Sunday. Give me 3 to 5 matches where you've got, you know, this could have been Brooks and Bryson on, you know, as the main event. The undercard could have been Jordan Spieth versus Justin Thomas. Like, you could have done anything here. 12 holes. You could draft teams, right? You could have 10 guys draft teams and play 5 matches, almost like collegiate style for 12 holes. Like, there's ways to build off this.
I totally agree. I think it'd be a ton of fun. I think the problem is, if you start throwing like 2, 3, 4 matches out there, you can't have Phil running the show, because he can't direct traffic. Like, you need Brian Anderson to actually jump in and like do what he's good at, and not Phil, because Phil would be talking about like, you know, astronomy, and you know, Spieth would have like a winning putt against JT that he would just like, it would be a problem. But yeah, I again, like, you got, it can't be 9 holes, because you can't have a 7 hole deal that lasts like, you know, 55 minutes. But if I actually like the one-on-one thing too, because I think sometimes when it's 2-on-2, it's just such a, it's so like,
it slogging forever. And also when you have a pro and an amateur, and the pro has to walk the amateur through the read of everything, and like, it's just, it just takes forever.
It felt like they were flying around today. Like, yeah, just playing. And Bryson's obviously, you know, that's how this whole thing started, is that Bryson's a slow player. That's the reason we had the match. Bryson's slow. But that is, that they were flying today. It was awesome. It was such a such a great like entertainment experience. Just even if we didn't have to talk about this, I didn't have to write about it, like, just to be a consumer and love golf, like, it was really great. Real quick, before I forget this, 2 lines that Charles had that were unbelievable. He said the first one got kind of buried, and it was awesome. He said they were talking about, I think it was when they were talking about the parasympathetic brainwave thing, which is just like, whatever, dudes. But Barclay was like, he said something like, I don't have a college degree, but I have a bunch of people working for me who do have them. And I was like, that's a sick line. Like, that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then the second was, yoga is just stretching. They call it yoga so they can charge you a bunch of money.
Top notch line. That is literally so good. Here it is. You tweeted it out. Yoga is stretching. They just call it yoga so they can charge you for it. It's like unbelievably amazing.
Both of those. Like, I watch it sometimes. I just don't watch a ton of NBA, so I don't see their TNT show. I don't know if he has stuff like this just like in the can, or if he's coming up with it on the spot. Either way, he's like, just like low-key brilliant, like he, like with the way he presents things,
he's not afraid to like make, like, he's in safe harbor behind the announcer's table, but when he's getting a little quippy with Bryson at the end there, and he's like, oh, you're not in much of a power position, and Bryson has like nothing to say back to him on the 8th green or whatever it was, like, he's not afraid to mix it up in that way either.
Producer Jacob, what did you want to say? You jumped in.
I just wanted to say he had a great, I could have swore he was channeling Yogi Berra whenever he said, I tell my financial guys gambling is 50-50. You either win or you lose.
Yeah.
Which is like perfectly makes sense, but it's also nonsense.
And then he had the thing about Nebraska not being able to hold a lead too. Yeah. he's just so like, he's kind of, I think people think that he's kind of over the top, but he's really actually kind of understated with a lot of the stuff that he says. And if you're not paying attention, you'll kind of miss it. And it's really good. And him and Phil was over the top. So it just, their duo just, it works so well together.
Real quick, we'll move on. What did you think of the course? Did you get enough of it? Do you have any interesting opinions on it?
I thought it was fine. I think for something like that, it you don't want guys looking for balls at like a place like Whistling Straits, right? You don't want guys climbing down dunes and over hills and whatever. Yeah. And so I think to have an open course like that where you can always find your ball, you can hit from the adjacent fairway. Obviously, yes. Those guys needed it.
Yeah, they hit two combined fairways.
Yeah, which Phil commentating on was pretty ironic. But yeah, I thought it was fine. The star of this is not the course, I don't think. It's honestly, I think it's a little bit turned into the commentary. And a course that kind of stays out of the way and allows you to have that commentary, I think is fine.
Yeah, the star is the presentation, which ends up being the guy who's running the show, which ends up being Phil and Charles.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We are going to quickly and wildly speculate about a couple of things. One, Tiger Woods, another COVID. So this will be a great SEO episode. But first, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to hear a word from our partners.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And we're back very quickly here, KP, because we don't have much information. Golf Week and Eamon Lynch came out with a story that says the PNC Championship is holding a spot in next month's field for Tiger Woods and his son. The PNC Championship, that is the event formerly called the Father and Son event, which is technically the last time we saw Tiger Woods play last year with his son, Charlie. Those infamous purple Nike shirts is what you might remember from that. Now, it's very specific, holding a spot in the field. That could mean nothing, but I think a lot of people who are also parlaying this headline with the swing, the 1 3-second clip that we saw, are getting very optimistic and excited about a big cat returning to the golf course.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, listen, like Tiger didn't hit that many shots there last year, right? And true. So I think based on the information that we have, which is 1 3-second clip over the last 10 months, I don't think it's infeasible for him to go out and just kind of, you know, hit it around a little bit. So yeah, I mean, we don't need to do like 20 minutes on this.
We don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I think it's not infeasible and it could be really cool. I know he loves doing stuff like that. I thought it was really like neat last year that, you know, he's done such a good job of protecting his kids from just that freaking weird life that is, it's just so hard for a kid to like have that life. And he's done a great job of protecting them. And it was cool to see them kind of step out of that a little bit in a safe and healthy way. So yeah, I'm all for that. I hope that he gets, I hope for their sake, he gets to do that. And it'd be a ton of fun to cover again.
Absolutely. And from the other side, if I was the PNC championship, I would hold a spot in the field, forever for Tiger Woods. No harm there. Right. Like, sure. Yeah. Like show up whenever you want, like final day, back nine, whatever you want, Tiger, we got you. The other thing we can wildly speculate about, cause we also don't have much information about, is a new COVID-19 variant that is seemingly been found, or I guess started in South Africa, and it is impacting golf tournaments. So what we've got here, KP, is the Joburg Open or Classic. I forget what it is called. Currently going on in South Open, going on in South Africa right now. That has been shortened to 54 holes. And then there is another event in South Africa next week that is just going to be, I believe, no longer a co-sanctioned event. It's going to be a Sunshine Tour event so that the guys who have to get out of South Africa or want to get out of South Africa, they can kind of head out. And then the Alfred Dunhill event in a couple of weeks, or I think in 2 weeks, has been canceled. So this is causing Europe, as of right now, European golf travel issues, and there's a couple of little ripples that are going on in our world here.
Well, one ripple that affects us is Mark back yet?
You know what? I don't know. I was trying to find out information, and as we've learned in the last 2 years, the information by the time we say it is outdated. My understanding is he should be able to get back into the United States no problem, even with a travel restriction that is going to be placed. But again, I'm not the State Department, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's just such a bummer. You know, it's like, it stinks for the European too. I mean, it just, I don't know. We could actually do 20 minutes on this. It just sucks. Like, it's just such a crappy, like, thing for the world that this is seemingly going to continue to happen and affect. And listen, this is like very, 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 very minor compared to how this actually affects the world. But it's the world that we inhabit, that we talk about. And so... Right. I think it's okay to talk about, but it's just it just stinks, and you don't want it to like keep popping up again, but it seems like it's going to. And I don't, you know, I saw somebody talking about how like it's like the worst way for the European tour to start its
new, I know,
with like the DP World Tour.
Yeah. What's up? Guest hit.
Yeah. She's got some takes on the tour. Yeah. I'll be up there. So yeah, it just I hate that for them going into, which they do the PGA Tour thing where they start their year like right, or their new season right away,
right?
And then I guess they break, and then they do the UAE swing where they go to Dubai and I guess they go to is it two tournaments in Dubai?
That sounds right. I think that's correct. Yes.
Or it's how it is.
They're well, when's Saudi? Are those guys, are they still going to Saudi Arabia? I can pull it up here.
Help us out, producer Jacob.
Here we go. So Dubai is, 2 weeks in, no, Abu Dhabi. And then, yeah. So yeah, 1 week in Abu Dhabi and the next week is in Dubai, which are both are in the UAE. So that's the end of January.
Yeah. So yeah, we don't have a ton of information. It's all speculation. You just, you know, I guess if you have to shut things down for the year and just everything kind of restarts January 1 for everybody, that would be fine, but you don't want to go through another year, even like, you know, 2021, which was way better than 2020, but still, you know, had restrictions and was difficult. But if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. So hopefully things will get figured out and we'll be able to just do all this without inhibition again, like we've had for the last 2 years.
And hopefully we are better prepared this time around. Mark, if you're listening, we're thinking about you. We're hoping you are feeling well, staying safe, and coming home soon. But for now, I think that'll do it, KP. I think we'll put a capper on this one. So big thanks to producer Jacob, does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.